Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, brothers, and all of my sisters from the tribes of Israel, the tribe of Judah, the real Israelites. This is the truth.
Is there anybody out there, anybody out there that wanna hear the truth? Is there anybody out there, anybody out there that wanna hear the truth? We've been lied to from the beginning, way back when I was in high school. The history was the truth. Then I tried to go to church and they lied again, said Jesus was a white man too. Then I read, we are the Jews.
What you say?
We are the Jews. We are the Jews.
And I buy the where I read it.
They stole our nationality, lied about our history, then turned around trying to be like us too. But the Bible says,
we are the Jews,
we are the Jews, we are the Jews. We're the Hebrew Israelites, Israelites. We're the best people and we got our own style. That's why they wanna be us, us. We're the Israelites, cause we are the Jews, we are the Jews. We are the Jews, we're the Hebrew Israelites, Israelites, the greatest nationality to be, when you find out the truth, we're the Hebrew Israelites, Israelites.
All my people living in the ghetto town, you're God's chosen people, hey, and if you're black and had it hard, been struggling so hard, you wonder why it's gotta be this way, but the Most High said, we would suffer with turning our backs and breaking all of his commandments. Yeah, we got a chance to get it right.
We're the Israelites,
and that's the best news I have heard all my life.
When I read, we are the Jews, we are the Jews, we are the Jews.
And
they stole our nationality, they stole our nationality,
and they lied
about our history. Yeah. They turned around trying to be like us too. But the Bible says,
we are the Jews, we are the Jews,
we are the Jews.
You know what I'm saying to you?
Israelites, 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 people, and we got
our own style.
That's why they wanna be
like us. That's why they wanna be like us.
We're the Israelites,
yeah.
We are the Jews, we
you
are the Jews.
You take the time,
we are the
and
Jews.
We don't bother.
We're the Hebrew Israelites,
you find
Israelites,
out who you are.
The greatest
nationality.
Find out the truth.
It's the
truth.
With
the Hebrew
Israelites. Israelites. Slow it down. I know some of y'all mind tripping right now. Go get your Bible. Go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 68. This is going to break down the curses that's on God's people. And it matches what we went through. We were the slaves that was on those ships that came over here through the slave trade. The Bible talks about this. We are the chosen people. It's not them Jews over there in Israel claiming to be Jews. We are the real Jews.
We are the Jews.
We are the Jews.
We are the Jews.
We are the Jews.
Best thing in the world to be.
We're the Hebrew Israelites. Israelites. It's the best kept secret that's been kept throughout all the ages. You know, that we the real Jews.
The secret is out.
They stole the our nationality Jew. From lying
the
about our history.
Jew.
Had us thinking we was African.
Hey, yeah. Oh, hey.
Israel. We a Hebrew Israelite.
We're the Hebrew.
The best nationality
Israelite.
In the world.
Israelite.
God's chosen people. Shalom.
All right. Welcome, 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 everybody. Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Michael Israel. Today it will be a very informative show. We're going to hit on several different topics. deep topics that needs to be discussed, need to be had. I look forward to it. I'm excited. what makes this show different from any other show, if you've been following the Waking Up Israel Radio Show, is that normally we kind of just read in different books and scriptures, me and Sister Thel and anybody call in and join us. This particular show here, I invited the Five Smooth Stone Network, that family there, to join us today and to talk about Old and New Covenants, our spiritual walk, and our carnal walk as well, because I believe they're both relevant. They're both a part of this body of Christ. And if you haven't been living under a rock, everybody, there's beef in the body of Christ. We're not getting along with each other. So today is a reflection of us getting along, us uniting, us being under the Spirit, and both, wanting to unite. Put the pieces together, man. If we're going to call each other brothers in Christ, then that's, we should act the part. So I definitely want this show to understand that, and all my spiritual brothers and sisters that's tuning in, I want you definitely have open ears up, and on my end, I don't have it all figured out. I never claim to have it all figured out. Just open invitation, man, to hear that spiritual side on the show tonight. But it's something that we don't normally hear on my show. Well, basically because, I'm carnal. So we don't really hear what these brothers are about to say tonight. And this is a good opportunity for what they're about to say on my show. And we can ask some questions on that or just be edified, man, in the scriptures and how to view it according to their understanding, So without further ado, let me go into the call line, open up mics, and everybody introduce themselves. Let's see here. We're going to start off with Sister Thel, area code 430. Your
shalom,
line is
shalom,
open.
Shalom, brother.
All right. Shalom, shalom, Sister Thel. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise. Give all praises to the Most High for another milestone.
All right, all right.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. So as you know, Sister, we invited the Five Smooth Stone Network to the show, and I just kind of wanted to open up your mic and let you say hello to everyone. And I'm going to go ahead and put you back on hold when you're done and start introducing the Five Smooth Stone family on the show.
Okay. All right. I look forward to listening. Look forward to listening and being, lifted up and by what is about to come forward. And I encourage everyone else to open your hearts and minds to
receive. Right on.
Information, yeah, that's going to help us grow.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, brother.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'll be listening.
Let me go. All right. I don't know. They might want to say, I know Brother Self, I know you met him before. He might want to say hi to you. Let me see your hand go up. I'm going to open up that mic, too. Hold on.
All right. Erico
817. Erico 817.
Okay. I hope you're talking about me. You probably got a lot of 817. This is Brother Self. Just shouting out to the Wake Up Israel Radio family, and I think it was Sister Bev it is.
Thel, T-H-E-L.
Spell that for me again.
T as in Tom, T-H-E-L, Thel.
Oh, Sister Thel, okay, my bad. Yeah, I remember talking to you sometime back, Sister Thel, and good to hear your voice again. And I guess, Brother Kenwin, are we going to call you Brother Kenwin tonight or Brother Michael?
Micah.
On the show, I've been going by Micah. But you know what? It's not, that's not important. Anyone you choose, I'll respond to both.
Well, I'm just so everybody know who I'm talking about. I'm going to cause no confusion. We'll call you Brother Micah. But anyway, it's good to be on your show, man. I'm looking forward to this conversation tonight. You to see what Sister Thel and yourself have for us and your family there at Wake Up Israel. Again, man, good to be on your show.
All right, all right. Awesome, awesome.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Our area code 513. I think that's the ambassador right there. Let me open up his line.
Praise the Lord. It's your boy, the ambassador for Thel Lindell Porche, all the way out here in Cincinnati, Ohio. God bless you, Sister Thel. So
thank
glad
you.
to meet you. This is my first time calling. This is my first time listening. But this is not my first interaction with Brother Micah. Brother Micah, I understand. I heard the protocol. He said go with Brother Micah. Of course, we know him as Brother Kenwin, but we're gonna go with Brother Micah, if that's the protocol. We're gonna do things decent and in order. Amen.
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 Yeah. So we all the way out here representing. Representing Salt Life Kingdom Ministries, where we believe that bringing the saltiness back to the believer through rightly dividing the word of truth and kingdom principles. We look forward to tonight. I thank you so much for having me on. I thank you so much for inviting me. You know, I feel an honor and a privilege. So I look forward to it.
All right, all right. Awesome, awesome. All right. Here. I got another caller just popped up, and let's go and open up his line too. Eric code 217. You are on the air.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was on your show earlier, helping you correct your song voice.
Brother Joshua.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. All right, okay.
Madame Thel, happy birthday again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem at all, man.
Okay, all right. Glad you was able to join us, Brother Joshua. So what I'm about to do, we're going to go ahead and dive on in and get to the point. The show is 2 hours long. We got probably an hour and 45 left. And what I want to do, go ahead and set the tempo, and we can elaborate on it, and we'll take a small break, and we'll keep that going for a couple rounds. Everybody get their thoughts out and articulate, exactly what it's all about from their point of view on the scriptures that I plan on putting out. And we're going to do it like that. There's going to be a time where we can all ask questions. And so you just sit back and relax, man, and wait on this time for the questioning to come out, and you can just jump on right on in. All right, Joshua? Brother Joshua? All right.
He probably
all right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. No, I already muted out. I was muted out like 2 minutes ago.
Okay.
You're all good, bud.
Oh, okay, gotcha. It's all good. It's all good. So without further ado, y'all, let me go ahead and put you on hold there, Brother Joshua. And I'm going to put a lot of everybody else on hold right quick. All right. I'm putting everybody on hold right now. And what I want to do, I want to go ahead and kind of get it all started off, y'all. I want to play a little clip. Let's see here. Let me dig in his library for it right quick and just kind of set the tempo, speaking about the old and new covenants and the things I kind of want to elaborate on. Well, I got these guys here. They're pretty heavy, and we just want to make sure we get a full understanding of you know, of the body of Christ and what we're dealing with, all right? Let's see here. If I can find it in my library, I got so much piled up in here. Sorry, excuse me, one second. Where are you? Okay. Now it's kind of lost in there. One second, y'all. I just had it. Now I can't seem to find it when the show starts. Ain't that something? Okay, come on now. Where you at? That's weird. That is so weird. Okay, y'all. Okay, well, I literally am not seeing it. Okay, well, what the clip was, what I was about to play, was dealing with Old and New Covenants and what Christ have done for us and the grace that he has set on us. Apparently, I got a freestyler, y'all. I'm literally not seeing it. Okay, I didn't have a plan B, but here goes plan B. I'm going to read Ezekiel 37 right quick. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. This is my plan B. That clip was talking about the dry bones. And this is a backup plan, y'all. I did not find my clip. Okay, so here we go. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O yea, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I would open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, the Most High Spirit. Let me read 14 again. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with them, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the sticks whereupon thou writest shall be in thy hand before thy eyes, for their eyes. And say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Let me go ahead and, I'll go ahead and read 23:2. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. All right, let me just stop right there at 24, y'all. And this is kind of letting you know where I'm at. I'm read the scripture as a backup plan B to the little clip I wanted to play. But nevertheless, it still hits on the key points that I wanted to start the show off with. Is that we can see that the bones represent the body of Christ, basically. And right now we're dead, according to the scriptures. And it's the spirit that life, breathed in life in us. So what's happening right now is that. There's a lot of arguing in the body of Christ. We are not getting along, and we're not seeing eye to eye. And I just kind of want us to elaborate on us coming together as one body. And it also mentioned the sticks. It did point to the children of Israel, but we know that it's a lot of believers out there that are not in Israel, right? Not of the same bloodline, but spiritually. They worship our God and in our Christ. So I guess in a sense, you can put them all in here. And we're all arguing in this body of Christ, not getting along with each other or not seeing eye to eye on a lot of different things. And I just kind of want to set the tempo with that scripture there. And I'm ready to get some feedback, y'all, what y'all thinking about it and things of that sort. I'm going to go and open up everybody's lines, and we can kind of get it started here. All right. I'm opening up everybody's lines here.
Yep.
Yeah, I like to have that group going with the scriptures, y'all. Instead of one at a time,
yeah.
We all can kind of freestyle and bounce ideas. Hold on 1 second, y'all. I got another caller that just came in. 1 second. Erico. 111. Let me open up your line. Erico, 111. You are live on the air. Okay.
Okay.
If you just want to listen, that's fine. I'll put you back on hold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put you back on hold.
Yeah.
All righty. Anyway, Brother Seth, Brother Purcell, see, Brother Joshua, if anybody got any comments of Ezekiel 37 that I just read.
Can I throw a little bit of gas on the flame from the Catholic perspective there?
Go ahead, Joshua.
Yes, sir. That's us. The bones on the ground are the fallen. That's literally us. And the upward mobility. Yeah, no, I know it's totally, I'm sorry. Just trying to, yeah. Just know the mental image of that is kind of heartbreaking.
All right. Okay. So basically what you're saying, you said that's us representing us. What you're saying?
Yes, sir. The bones on the ground are the fallen, and that is humanity. Yes, sir.
All right. So, see, Brother Seth, Brother Purcell.
Well, I think. Can you hear me? Okay, I've got on my earpiece now. Let me know if you can hear me because I switched from early. I'm wearing my earpiece now, but let me know if it's not clear. I'll go back to the phone. But I believe Ezekiel 37 is not the body of Christ. I think Ezekiel 37 is the whole house of Israel. I think Ezekiel 37 is in verse number 11 of Ezekiel 37. It says, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." So that's my comment.
Yes, sir. I can definitely agree with that. But being that there's so many that worship and praise our God and our Christ, they too should be dead in their sins as well, I'm thinking, you know. And so I was incorporating them to a part of it because I feel like this is a decaying world that we live in, and they are part of this as well. But that's
okay,
my understanding
part of
it. But
for clarification, Brother King, when you say part of this as well, what do you mean? Because Ezekiel 37 is addressing Israelites, dry, dead of knowledge, and the Father in the latter days is going to resurrect his people, and he's going to bring them into their land, a remnant of them. So when you say, you know, this is to a family that has been scattered through the four corners, and the Father talks about the prophets were to pray and speak the word, and he is going to do a work with natural, biological DNA Israel, those who have their hearts circumcised, I believe.
Okay. Well, that sounds good to me.
Can I say what I was saying earlier in a better way? That's the default position. The default position is to be the skeleton. The default position of humanity is to be the skeletons on the ground. Does that make more sense? I wasn't trying to. That's what I was actually trying. I was saying that the default position of humanity is to be the fallen.
Okay. Well, I was coming from a decaying world perspective, and Brother Suff was letting me know that literally what this is saying is the children of Israel that is scattered abroad is going to start waking up to who they truly are. And it's just speaking to them only, right? And if we want to start talking about other believers in Christ, that's coming much later. But right now, in Ezekiel 37, this message is entirely for the children of Israel. I think that's what Brother Seth was pointing to on that. And, you know, but I was trying to put it all in perspective as in the body of Christ. Because I had a clip. I had a clip, and he was kind of hitting on the same thing I'm trying to do, trying to say. I guess I was trying to say it like him, but I'm failing at it or so. But he was incorporating all of it as believers, coming out of this kind of wicked world that we're living in. You know what I mean? And I was trying to come from that type of perspective. All right, all right. Brother Purcell, anything, you got sure. anything on that? Anything you want to add to it?
I kind of agree with Seth that Ezekiel is speaking to the children of Israel. Because if you go back to 36 is actually one of my favorite chapters, where it talks about how we have profaned the Lord's name, and he was going to bring us, restore us. It actually says, I believe, in Ezekiel 36 and I want to say 27. I'm not looking right at it. But I want to say Ezekiel 36 and 27 reads that I will sanctify myself in you right before their very eyes. And then he goes on to say, so it can't be everybody, because he said right before their very eyes. Who? You know what I'm saying? So you would have to be thinking, okay, right before whose very eyes? So it can't be all of us. But it's those that oppose. Okay. It's those that oppose. So then he says, but not for your sake do I this, but for my name's sake. So he's restoring the house of Israel because of what we did to profane his name. So in order for him to restore or maintain his great name, he has to be God.
Okay. All right. All right. I like that. I like that. That's bringing clarity,
amen.
Don't you think, Sister Steph?
Amen.
Well,
amen.
You know, I'm no one that's really notable to where I have a lot of knowledge, but I can give you my thoughts on that, because I was thinking about everything that each one of the gentlemen was saying, and I thought differently, slightly, because from what I've been learning and what I've been studying on and what I'm thinking is that those who believe in Israel, even the ones that are the Gentiles, if they believe that the Israelites are the people, are the chosen people, they come in as a being adopted. And I believe that's what he was talking about, as the sticks are putting together into one. There was more than one stick. And there was others that he joined together into one stick. And I think I'm going to scripture, let's see, I don't know if that was 17. It says, join them together into one stick so that they may become one in your hands. And he was telling him to prophesy. So our Savior, the Son of Man, he came here for the children of Israel. He said that's why he came to this world. Okay, but as you can see, and I have always thought of how he, his mercy, his love overflowed. It overflowed to others who believed. And so that's how the Gentile, and that's why the Apostle Paul was trying to blend in the Gentiles, because there are some out there that really believe they can be adopted or kinship to the Israelites. Israelites are the chosen people. But if you get some that says, you know what, I believe in that. I truly believe in it. I believe in his word. I believe everything that you're telling me. But you know what? It wasn't my faith before, but you have opened up my eyes. I'm waking up to what's really happening. I didn't know, just like a lot of us Gentiles who are Israelites didn't know. But if you believe it, then you can be joined to the stick, to the family, to the Israelites. And then when he comes back and return, he's going to gather all of his people. I understood that they may not be, they're not going to be the chosen people, but they're going to be next. They're going to go down, you know, be akin to. They're going to join in the family. They're adopted in to the family, and that we're all going to dwell in the kingdom. Am I making any sense here?
Right, right.
Because if they believe in what we believe in, and they believe who we are, that's what matters.
Right.
That's how they are saved. That's how they are taken in. That's how they are joined in to the body.
I agree with that.
That's just my, you guys can talk about that, but that's just my feeling. Because, you know, we just don't want anyone to be lost. And we know that he created every creature. And I believe that he created everyone for a reason. But just because he knows what the reason is, and it's not for us, man, to just know what he's thinking and what he has planned. He's not going to tell us. I mean, he's trying to give us hints through the Savior, but I'm just letting you know that I think that Brother Michael, what you was trying to say, like you were saying, because we're all children, we're all creators. I mean, creatures of the Most High, and his purpose for each and every one of us is he does have a purpose for us. So that's all I'm saying. So I'm thinking that some can.
Yes, ma'am. We want to jump in there, Cecile.
Okay,
we
want to
jump in there.
Okay, all right. Believers.
Right, right. Was that Brother Purcell that was trying to jump in also? But I had some things what Cecile was saying that I want to add on to. Who's that?
Yeah.
Was I the only one trying to jump in? All right, go ahead.
Yes, I agree. I agree with what she was saying, but I agree to the degree is that everybody was engrafted in when Jesus the Christ came.
Okay.
All I was saying was there in Ezekiel, he's talking to the disciples. I mean, he's talking to the
Israelites.
Right.
Yes, yes.
But ultimately, I'm sorry, y'all. I just got in the car. Please forgive that sound. Ultimately, the design was or is that none should perish. But that only comes.
Okay.
That only comes after Christ hung, bled, and died. And brought the new covenant in, and the Holy Ghost came. That's
correct.
When salvation.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You're correct, brother. I'm sorry that I kind of rushed through that. That's because I'm not really as knowledgeable as you are.
Oh no, we don't want to look at it like that. We all
okay.
Do it for the word.
I hear you. Thank you, brother.
Absolutely. So yeah, it was after Christ came, hung, bled, and died, and then the new covenant came. When the Holy Ghost came, that's when salvation became available to all.
Yes, yes,
yes,
absolutely.
Yes. Amen.
So in Ezekiel, he's talking to the Israelites. He's talking to us.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So that's
right,
what I was
right
saying.
On.
Yes, sir.
I have a question.
Go ahead, brother.
Purcell, will you finish?
Yes, I'm finished.
Okay. I just wanted to say, Brother Kenwin, I mean, Brother Micah, y'all got to bear with me. So yeah. You was talking earlier when you were setting it all up. How is this a problem in the body of Christ? So are we hitting the topic?
Yeah. I actually had a clip. It's an up and coming pastor, and I'm real kind of fond of him, man. And he really kind of broke it down, and he was connecting Ezekiel 37 to some things that Paul had said, because of Paul, when he was preaching in his churches, getting them set up, he quoted parts of Ezekiel in that message, and speaking to believers, right, and understanding that they too can partake in this body of Christ, you know. And but he was,
well,
Paul pretty much, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, but in a certain clip, and that's what I was trying to imitate, because I tried to freestyle what he was saying myself by starting it off with Ezekiel 37.
Well,
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say. Now I'm trying not to cut nobody off, but I was just trying to say what Brother Joshua was saying. I do understand people that draw comparisons from Israel, like Purcell was saying. We're to be an example. I mean, it all starts with Israel, to the Jew, to the Jew person, then to the Gentiles. So there's always going to be some things you can draw. We're always going to set the stage. We're always going to – I'm kind of lost for words here, but my point is, yeah, you can see draw some similarities is what I'm trying to say. But I adamantly think Ezekiel 37 is talking about Israel, who has been scattered, who's going, you know, again, the hand of the Lord came upon me and carried me out into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass around about them. He's talking about something that's going to happen to his people. And the whole Bible really is talking about things that have happened, is happening, or is going to happen to Israel. And the body of Christ is just kind of on the outside looking in until the rejection of his people, and then they're invited in, which the Father never not really invited the Gentiles in. You look at the scriptures, they always, it wasn't that he turned his back on the Gentiles, it's just they turned his back on him. And when they sought him, they always found him. So I just want to tie in your early on, your statements early on, and to, it sounded like we wasn't on topic, but I guess we are.
We're just kind of getting setting the stage, brother. We're just kind of setting the stage, and that's what we ultimately is doing, is talking about this body of Christ, because right now we got. Well, people on this side of the fence that I'm on, is expressing hatred and things like that toward people outside of Israel, and I'm seeing people that's not in Israel who want to participate. They desire to be a part of this. This new thing that's popping up, you know, and but they're being rejected. They don't know where they fit into the grand scheme of this new Israelite movement that's happening right now. All right, because go ahead.
If I may, and let me know if I'm too much, because the bad thing about blogging, you can't see each other. It happens on my show as well. We can't see each other. We don't know when somebody's finishing up or not. So please, if you're not done, just say, hold on a second, and I'll let you finish. Not a problem. But as far as the hatred and all that, I think what's happening is any hatred the Israelites is feeling is because, I wouldn't say hatred. I think what happens is people just don't like the Israelites because of how they're behaving. The church has been known for love for many generations, thousands of years, if not just thousands of years, yes, of love, 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 love. Then all of a sudden, course, there's been some other haters like the Klan calling themselves Jesus Christians and so forth. Christians have been hating too. But here of late, to turn on the YouTube and type in the word Hebrew Israelites and to see what is transpiring, where you got young black people who have been known the lovers, we put up with a lot of things from slavery, and we have loved these people, so-called white people. We have overpowered them with our love and our kindness. Sometimes it's been fear. Sometimes it's been Uncle Tom. Sometimes it's been not a healthy relationship with the whites. Sometimes it was out of survival. But nevertheless, some of the love we had have overpowered them, and it has made us known all over the world. We're known to be that people like Farrakhan say, if you can just get past us knocking each other in the head, we're really not that violent of a people towards others. And I agree with him. So now you see these Hebrew Israelites out here saying, one day you're going to, you know, kiss my boots and you're going to be out service and all this. This is way, way different from what we've used to. So we reject them, some of us. We reject the message. We don't know that we're Israel, some of us. I'm not talking about myself right now. I'm just saying some so-called African-Americans don't know that we're Israel. So they sit down and hear what these young people have to say. But when they hear this other stuff, they want to run as far from them as they can. And that's what the rejection that you may be feeling the hatred is for. So now when those of us that are seasoned are trying to walk in love who get this same message, we try to go down and talk to our brothers and sisters. They label us with these haters, with these disrespecting young people, and it shuts down what the Father's trying to do through resurrecting Israel, as Ezekiel 37 said would happen. So this behavior is literally shutting down or impeding, and yes, man can impede God's work. Yes, he can. All you got to do is look in your own lives. So we can impede and block the hand of the Father from working. He's going to get his will done eventually, though. Israel going to be resurrected, a remnant. So that's what I think has happened, brother.
I agree with you, brother.
Yes, I agree as well. I don't want to associate myself with the brother, because I for the longest time, when I heard someone talking about, you know, kissing boots, I didn't know where that was coming from. But I eventually, not too long ago, kind of searched the internet, and I now see what they're saying when they make that type of comment. That's dealing with end times, and I don't represent that. Don't get me wrong, I don't represent that that type of speech. But far as there's so many camps out there, there's so many Israelite camps, but apparently the most popular ones are the ones that you was just talking about, Seth. And yeah, they do kind of got this this message out there, and a negative message just out there, and it's not very attractive. And I definitely kind of want to separate myself from that message there. But however, the overall agenda to wake our brothers and sisters up and come back to the law, statutes, and commandments, that's what I kind of want to represent, you know. And, yeah, so, all right, Brother Purcell, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, not exactly. I do want to clarify, I did make a scripture reference earlier, and I think I referenced verse number 27. Actually, I went back to check it, and it's verse number 22. Okay.
Okay, you want me to read it?
Yeah, you can read it.
Okay, you talking about Ezekiel chapter 37?
36.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me pull it up. Ezekiel 36. What verse now?
Verse 22. Number
22.
He
said 22? 22,
yes.
Okay, just let me know when to stop. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went.
Hold on, Brother Kenwin. Brother Kenwin?
Yes.
There's a lot of noise. I don't know if it's you or Brother Purcell, but it's like somebody driving or something. There's a lot of noise.
Brother Purcell. Mute yourself, Brother Purcell. Can you mute your line?
I'm muted. Go ahead.
All right. Brother Purcell, since you're going to mute yourself, do you know where I need to stop at? How far do you want me to go? I'm going to start at 22 again.
I think it's just verse number 22 in its entirety, and that's it, I believe. It's just showing you who
right.
he was talking
to. Gotcha. All right. Let me start on over. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. All right, and that was that right there.
That's to the point.
All right. Yes. Okay,
yes,
gotcha. All right, so what we're going to do, y'all. Go ahead, Priscilla.
It specifically states that he's talking to the house of Israel because of how they misrepresented him everywhere they went. So talking about the ones that Seth was talking about, how they were scattered, where he was just showing us that everywhere they were scattered, they were misrepresenting God.
Right.
So that's why.
Okay.
That's how we got to where we are. Oh.
Gotcha. Uh-oh, be careful now. All right.
Oh, no, I heard somebody else sound like they was getting ready to have a crash.
I pray that everyone be safe. Be safe, brothers.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, what we're going to do right now, y'all, I'm going to put everybody on hold, okay? And we're coming up on the halfway mark here. And I'm going to put everybody on hold. We're going to take a little small break, and we're going to jump into the Old Covenant when we come back from the break, okay? All right, and we can do some reflection before we get started on the scriptures. But we're going to definitely jump into this Old Covenant and speak up on it, and we just going to go from there, okay? All right, here we go. I'm putting everybody on hold right now. And I do hope y'all enjoy this little song I'm going to play, y'all. You know, these brothers are definitely bringing the gospel to the rap generation. We're in a dying world, man. And it just, man, it took me a little while to kind of put this little library of different songs together. And I just hope y'all kind of, I know it's something different to listen to, man. But I think it's a good way to battle against this negative rap music that's taking place. All right. Let's see here. I'm going to go with, Pure. Let's go with Pure by a brother named Hezekiah. It's one of my favorites. All right, let's play this one.
Shoulders. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Look, you made my desires pure. Yeah. You made my desires pure. Yeah. You made my desires pure. I want wisdom, understanding. I don't want no Grammy. I wanna live a righteous life with a righteous family. I want a wife to love you more than she love me. Wanna show my people that they royalty. Wanna live by your commands, on your word we stand. I'd rather be touching scriptures than touching these banks. Them riches gon' profit nothing in a day of wrath. I was living in my mess, I had to take a bath. Creating me a clean heart, Alpha made me pure. The things of the world, y'all, it's time to ignore. I want love, I want peace, I want everlasting life. Well done, my good and faithful servant, walking in that light. I'm on this narrow path, trying to save a soul. I want my people in Jerusalem, the days of hope. I want to get to the homeless, show them that he cares. I want to get a homeless, hope we almost out of here. Get your example through your son, and it's the only way. Ain't no pagans over here, we keep it holy days. I want my people, stop the killing, we dropping the prophets. I want us come back to the laws, it ain't no other option. Don't want no hate up in my heart, not over no doctrine. I want the fruits of the spirit, y'all could keep the nonsense. I had to renew my mind, I had to free my conscience. I had to confess my sins, I had to be honest. I want the Ruach HaKodesh to come into me. I only trust the Father, not the enemy. The Father word he came and cleansed the enemy. I only want the spirit, so I'm killing me. The Father gave me righteousness that I desire. I want to see the kingdom, not the lake of fire. I don't want no drugs, scriptures got me higher. If we come in a pure heart, we gon' be the highest.
My desires pure. You made 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 my desires pure.
I haven't seen, ears haven't heard, all that you had for me. Ears haven't heard all that you had for me. You made my desires pure. Eyes haven't seen. Ears haven't heard all that you had for me. You made my desires pure. Eyes haven't seen. Ears haven't heard.
Weight that was on our shoulders.
You made my desires pure.
With the things of this world.
You made my desires pure.
I want to say thank you, Father.
You made my desires pure.
Getting that weight off our shoulders. Hallelujah.
All right. Got myself off mute. I hope y'all enjoyed that song, man. And that is one of my favorite ones on here, but I do got quite a bit. And Stella, I ain't forgot about your song that you love so much. I'm going to make sure I get that song on in here, too, later on in the show. All right, y'all. So we're going to open up everybody's line. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to hop into the scriptures, and we're going to speak upon the old covenant, right? What it was able to do, what it wasn't able to do, okay? And kind of speak upon that, all right? And then afterwards, we're going to jump into the new covenant, okay? And, y'all, just take it real slow, y'all, all right? Open up everybody's lines. Okay, here we go. Everybody's line is open.
Yep. Okay. I enjoyed that song, all too, right. Brother.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. All right, y'all.
That was hot.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep. Nice song.
All right. So here we go, y'all. I'm going to hop into the book of Deuteronomy. Okay. I am, what chapter do I want to start with to get my point across or to give you a good understanding of what the old covenant, what it was about? Let's start at chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. All right, I'm going to read chapter 27 and read some of these curses. Some of the things that Moses kind of told him, once you, all these commandments that God had given to us, if we do this, and he's swiping the blood, freaking the blood over everybody, right? We do this, we will be blessed. He's going to bless us, set up above everybody in the nation, a beacon of light for the world, this darkened world that we live in. But if we don't do these commandments, these heavy things are going to fall upon us, right? And in his commandments, it consists of when we do fall short, but this is designed for when we're all supposed to fear God with all our minds and hearts. So when we commit a sin, there was a system that he placed, given to us, that could take our sins away. Now, basically, it wasn't designed for a stony heart, I want to say. It was for everybody supposed to have the fear of God in them. All right? Because at this point that Moses is sprinkling his blood on us, and we enter this covenant with God, the fear of God was on us. We was at the height of where we supposed to be with God, right? And if you keep reading the scriptures, you will see our ups and our downs. Are we falling away? Are we? And it all came to a full. He spanked us with slavery and captivity. These ups and downs, right? And this is the last captivity that the Israelites are going to be in. And it's the worst of them all. He's done spanking us. If we do not learn our lesson with this last go around, we're gonna be in that lake of fire, right? So we definitely need to fully understand what that old covenant was about and this new one, this new covenant, in which I'm not a big my understanding thus far is that the new covenant starts when Christ comes back. I'm not quite in the understanding. I understand he may have initiated it. I'm gonna let the other brother speak on it. But I'm to me, in my understanding, which I'm about to read here in a little bit, the new covenant kind of is going to come in, usher in, fully in its fullness. I guess is the best word to say is when Christ comes back, right? But okay, without further ado, let me go on and get started with it, y'all. I'm going to read 27. And I'm going to build up to it, right? Okay, 27, verse 1. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over the Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God given thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. Okay. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Milk and honey, that part of the world has been saying it's full of milk and honey, but with our eyes, when we look over there, it's kind of, it don't seem like it's milk and honey there, do it? I mean, that just, you know, but I mean, I'm just saying, though, man, it seems kind of barren, like it's in a desert, and it's right there by the sea, but I'm gonna hit on that a little later, y'all. But okay, but let's see, 4. Therefore, it shall be when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and they shall build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones that thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon you. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed, O hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people, when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. All right, he's going to get into some of these curses going forth, but you get the understanding of what's happening here. And I just want to build up to that before I go to Deuteronomy 30, all right? He's telling everybody the do's and don'ts, all his commandments. We enter. This is lifelong, generation after generation, this word stands, and I'm in the understanding that what's being said here, it applies to right here, right now, what we're dealing with, right now. Okay, these curses are forever. These commandments, that is forever. And so that's what I feel like that we're under. We're breaking constantly, daily. Been doing it in Israel. That's why we've cast off. And I believe that once, if we were to try to keep these commandments the best of our ability, right, the best of our ability, I'm saying to try, you know, and that is when these curses can fall up off of us. All these curses that's on Israel, that Moses is saying, I believe that that's what's plaguing us. That's the reason why we're still bottom of every nation still, why we lead in the prison systems, why we still got all this filth in our lives and stuff. And everybody just kind of shake their head looking at black America, you know. They just shake it. They can't understand why we can't come up, right? I think it's because we still breaking these laws to this very day, right? And there's plenty of churches out there, especially in the black urban areas. There's a church on every corner. So having a church, that's not the problem. We got plenty of churches, plenty of them. I'm thinking the true issue on why our people are plagued the way they are, going through the leading in the health care, far as our health. We're leading in high blood pressure and all these things because we are still breaking these laws, you know. And I just kind of want to build up to that, y'all. I'm going to get to Deuteronomy 30, but any comments about what's plaguing black America right now and these curses that are on us?
Yeah, Brother Kenwin, I think what's plaguing black America, I don't think it's per se. I do think sin always is going to be a problem, but I don't think these people are sinning any more than people. But we are Israel, and there is a certain mandate upon, I believe, African Americans are scattered, and those of us, our sister tribes, scattered. I think since Christ have come, well, let me say it like this. The Bible talks about Israel is supposed to be scattered throughout the four corners, and I do believe that we're supposed to undergo something for 400 years. But the deal is, we've been here past 400 years. So I think the curse is over. I think you can walk in the curses by not walking in the newness of the Spirit. I think the curses is over.
Now, some people would say the curses was over when Christ died on the cross, but why was we put in slave ships? Why do we have it seven times harder? Why do we have to go through all these things if we're no longer under those curses, Deuteronomy 28? Again, the rest of the world may be under something different because Christ had come and died, but the Bible says all words have to be fulfilled. All the prophecies have to be fulfilled. And Israel is supposed to be going through a certain thing. Deuteronomy 28, Moses is speaking. He says, and these shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and unto your children forever. The blessings if you obey, the curses if you disobey. So I do think an Israelite is going to have a different life. So if we have served out the sentence for our forefathers' rebellion, what are we under now that we're acting? Now I think it's different. The problem now I don't think is because of the sins of our foreparents. It's because of ignorance. It's now because of ignorance in who we are in Christ. Because every believer is not, everybody that's so-called African American is not suffering with sickness and disease and divorce and headache and problems. There are some people that are appropriating the word of the Most High, and they are blessed. They are blessed. The nation of Israel, although, is a different story. So I think we have to look at it like that, because to say we're still cursed as individuals, I wouldn't say that. I don't think I'm cursed unless I, again, walk in disobedient or ignorance of the scriptures. So I don't know if that answers your question or not. I also want to make a comment because you said quite a few things. I think we have to look at it like this as far as this new covenant versus the old covenant. There's two things I have for you, and I don't know how I'm going to get them all out without talking a lot. One answer I have for you as far as us not agreeing on the old covenant and new covenant is this. Why don't we just believe what the Bible say? I don't like to use Paul. I want to back up and quit calling him Paul. That's disrespect. It's the word. It's the Bible. And in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews 9 and 15, it says, therefore, he is a mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. It goes on to say, since a death has occurred that redeemed them from the transgression committed under the first covenant. Now, here is Hebrews 9 and 15 clearly says, therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant. Romans 7 and 6 says, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which we held, to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. I can go on and on and on about scriptures that say new covenant, Hebrews 8 and 8, new covenant, blood covenant, Matthew 26, 28, just scripture after scripture after scripture. But so for whatever reason, we can't come to an agreement that it's saying what it's saying. There it is, it's saying. Again, Romans 11, 27, Hebrews 12, 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. So I think what we need to do is this. It's two ways to handle this disagreement that's among Israelites and so-called Christians. Number one, let's just believe the Bible. And if somebody want to call that old covenant, new covenant, I can't resolve that. But why don't we just believe what the Bible says, and it says it's called, just quote scripture. Just say the scripture. If he says, therefore, he's a mediator of a new covenant, let's say it. Well, Christ is a mediator of the new covenant. Let's not say what we're under. We just say what the Bible say and just be in Christ. Live our life over. That's one way to solve the problem. Just do what the Bible say, claim your salvation in Christ, and we'll be okay. The second way is, why don't we believe these scriptures? why don't we believe these scriptures? I don't want to talk too much, but that's just two things I thought of about this whole issue with us versus so-called Hebrew Israelites. I mean, you got scriptures saying it right here is daylight, but for some reason, the Hebrew Israelites is not seeing it. We're saying it. We're saying it out of our mouth, new covenant, and they're saying we're not under it. So versus arguing, why don't we do one or two things? Either we continue looking at these scriptures, which they're not going to see it, or let's just be believers in Christ and we'll be okay because we'll be in Christ and let the Father sort as to whether or not we're in the new. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
however,
sure, brother.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Sister. You got something?
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm just saying that he's making lots of sense. And like I said before, everything that you say and do, sir, is not lost. It's not just falling on deaf ears. So everything is what you're saying is something that was supposed to be said. And
yes, ma'am.
The hearers will receive it in their spirits. So you're
absolutely
not saying anything that the Most High is not in control of. I
yes,
just
right
want
on
to say
yes
that.
Right on. Okay, but I just kind of also want to add in that it's a little bit more complicated, Brother Self, because here we are, we see that we all acknowledge Christ as being that mediator. But there's things that was said in Scripture that we hold dear, and we're trying to make sense of it going forward with the other Scriptures. Now, when we speak about it, I know we want to say the whole Bible. We don't want to go into the author of what book. But I think it's very relevant that we do so because particular Paul, he is traveling to places that Israelites don't normally dwell at, brother. So that's the reason why we really gotta understand the differences of these apostles and how they talk. All right, and I think it's very relevant. For example, let's go to Matthew, right? Matthew, let's go to chapter 5. And this is red letter. This is Christ. I mean, there's nobody else, in my opinion, that when they speak, you need to pay more attention to than Christ. And if Christ says it, then everybody else, every other book in here, falls up under what he's saying. They should be in agreement with that. And we should build our understanding based off of what Christ said. In other words, Christ is like the top of the pyramid, and the rest is explaining more about it in deeper level, but we got to keep it still right here. All right, for instance, let's go to Matthew. Let's start at 18. We'll start at 17. Think not I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. This is Christ. For I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law and the prophets, right? For verily I say unto you, till heaven, this is heaven now, and earth pass. We're still here on earth, y'all. One jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. When is all going to be fulfilled, y'all? We got to say when Christ comes back. That's what it all boils down to. It's prophesying that his kingdom going to be forever. He's going to reign on this. That's not come to pass yet. So if Christ
Ken, okay, if I may, okay, because you're building. You just gave us the scripture, not come to pass. I'm not come to destroy the law. I don't think to say we're not under the law is destroying the law. I don't think because these scriptures are saying Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that means we've come to destroy the law. When people start saying things like we're no longer under the law, and like in Romans 7 with Paul, uses the analogy. He says it's like when a woman is married in Romans 7, and he says she's bound by that husband, but once that husband dies, she is no longer
bound by that husband and she's free to marry another. I don't think Paul in that analogy or in anything Paul has ever taught does he say Christ has come to destroy the law. And I think when people draw that conclusion, I think there's a lack of misunderstanding some kind of way. I don't think no one that preaches grace. Now, somebody may drop the ball. Somebody may drop the ball and say, I've never actually heard nobody say that the law is destroyed. We are to obey. If the law is destroyed, if we believe that the law is destroyed, we wouldn't be saying you got to love your neighbor. You can't lie, cheat, steal. Every church almost you can think of say you can't steal, cheat. Well, that's the part of the law right there. That is the law. And if people, we say that we're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible says when you do this, you keep all of the law, because if you do this, you keep the spirit of the law. So I don't hear what y'all are hearing, if I can say y'all, if I may say that. I don't hear Christians or a lot of, I don't hear nobody saying we need to destroy the law. So help me with that.
So can I jump in right here?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Jump on in, man.
Okay. So here's the other thing. Here's a lot of where we get our misunderstanding. A lot of where we get our misunderstanding is improper context. Okay. We have to be contextually sound. Okay. When we start debating scripture, you want to make sure that you're contextually sound. Okay, when he said, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, it was through him that the law is fulfilled. Okay, now Paul said the law is for the lawless, right? So the law in its natural sense is for those who are without Christ, or without the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. So they need the law to govern them, right?
Yes.
So they need the earthly law to govern them. But those
yes.
of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord, the Bible said that we have an unction inside of us that lives on the inside of us that no man need to teach us. Okay? So Christ is the law in its fullness. Christ is all man. He's all deity. And he's the law fulfilled. So the only way that we are apart from the law is to be apart from him. That's the only way we... Do you understand what... Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's I understand what you're saying, but
good,
I think
brother.
The message that you're quoting from to the Gentiles who are not under this blood covenant, as far as lawless, the law is for the lawless. The law
lawless.
Is for anyone who goes to, right, the lawless, right? That's when
right.
you say it in that manner, the first thing that pops in my mind is as if you're saying that Israel is wicked and all jacked up, and Gentiles, they was all good. That's why God
no.
chose Israel, because they were so jacked up and horrible people that the Gentiles... They didn't need a law, so therefore
no. That
the,
was for
we need
that
to,
was for.
I mean,
that was for
I,
Jews or Gentiles. That scripture
the
is
law
for Jews
is,
or Gentiles.
I understand. I understand the context of it, but I'm just saying when you hear the law is for the lawless, and we all the lawless. Then is that the case? You know,
absolutely, 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 brother. Kim, if I may, really.
I know, but if you look at the grand scheme of how the Bible ends, it ends with the law of God being put on all people. Every year, Gentiles and everybody who's there to witness Christ reigning on this earth,
every year on the, during the Feast of Tabernacles, is it? That they got to come and pay tribute to our Christ, our King. That's a holy day that's in our law. Our laws are going to be when Christ is running the world. So that's what I'm saying. If you're going to say the law is for the lawless, I think I'm asking you to elaborate a little more because I'm thinking about
Let me, brother. I think what he just did was brilliant. Not because he Purcell or we on the same team and nothing like that, because me and Purcell disagree all the time with each other on certain things. But right here, I think he just nailed that. We just got to receive it and not fight it. He just nailed that. Those that have a relationship with the Father, this could be Jews or Gentiles, they're going to have this unction. Now, it says you don't need a teacher, but because we can't always hear this unction or because we don't always submit to this unction, this is why we need the fivefold ministry, apostles, teachers, evangelists in the church. But technically, if you could listen to that unction, he's right. You do not need that anybody should teach you. As a matter of fact, even when those fivefold ministry do teach you, you still got to get an agreement from the unction inside of you that what they're saying is true. So at the end of the day, no matter who stands before you or what audio you hear, you got to get that unction in your spirit before you even receive it. So you really is part of this unction. Now, a Jew can be lawless, not obeying. A Gentile can be lawless. It don't mean you don't have the law. It just means you don't walk with the Father. And another thing you were saying, Brother Kenwood, with regards to the Gentile, message to the Gentile, oftentimes when the Father is trying to get us to see things, we say, well, that's Paul. That's why I got rebuked after the show and said, quit disrespecting this man that wrote most of the New Testament, calling him Paul. This is the word of the Father to us.
Right.
That's the first thing we need to do, because I never hear nobody talking about James and saying, well, James, you got to, hey, y'all watch James. Go watch, you know, I don't hear that. But when it
right.
comes down to Paul, we want to trivialize him and make him like, give him by a first name. That's the apostle. He's an apostle, and just because he was sent to the Gentiles, that don't mean everything that man say is for the Gentiles. The law was weak through the flesh. Not it was weak. Brother Ken would correct me, Brother Michael corrected me last week. I appreciate it. We won't say the law is weak, but we would say it's definitely weak through the flesh. Well, if it's weak through the flesh, is it the Gentiles' flesh or just the Jew flesh? So it don't matter that Paul said that to the Gentiles. The law is weak because of the flesh. The law is weak through the flesh. Just because Paul is teaching the Gentiles, it don't mean everything or most of what he say don't relate to us. We almost miserable. We could not keep the law. The Bible says your righteousness is a filthy rag, Israel. We were not. It says if you offend in one area, you're guilty of the whole thing, Israel. So we need the Savior. We need his blood. We need to trust. The Bible says, what about this scripture, which we never talk about? Here's a scripture you never talk about, hardly talks about among the Hebrew Israelites, some of them. Now, keep in mind, Hebrew Israelites is a DNA thing. You either is or you're not, as far as bloodline. But then this spiritual Jew, that's a completely different conversation, which we all need to be pursuing. But see, I'm getting to talk. What was I just saying? Oh, my, help me out, y'all. What was I just
Go
saying?
Go ahead, brother. You're going to give us a scripture we don't talk about.
I was just saying that Apostle Paul, what was that? What's that, Purcell?
You said
No, I was... He was going to give us the scripture.
Hardly ever talked about amongst the Hebrew Israelites.
Yeah, okay. The scripture we hardly ever talk about is this one. You never hear this hardly among these young Hebrew Israelites, not the old school, because this has been around since the 1800s. The just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
That's what we're to have. We're justified by faith. Not human efforts to keep some commandments. You never hear, like I said the last show we had, I love the young people, but I think they're missing the wisdom from the older people. Yes, pursue keeping any commandment you can. Do it. But never judge yourself, or you're not under the law. You're under grace. We're supposed to seek the Most High, and when we do that, we get the Spirit. We're supposed to obey the Spirit behind the law. What was the law given for? To stop us from sinning. So you can do that, like Purcell was saying, through this relationship with Christ, letting him be the Lord of your life. And here's the key, trusting. That's what we should be working for. Trust, faith. Work to have faith. So much keeping the Sabbath, it's having, being justified through Christ. Does that mean don't keep the Sabbath? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying pursue the Father. Listen to that unction, and you're going to look up. You'll be keeping the proper days. You're going to be eating what you need to eat. You're going to be doing right by your neighbor. That's more than just 613 laws. There is a Spirit behind those, what the Father was trying to accomplish. Again, the just shall live, thrive, obey the Father by faith. The Bible says, by the law shall no flesh be justified. The Bible says, by the law shall no flesh be justified. No flesh mean no flesh. It don't mean Gentiles. Just because Paul said that to the Gentiles. That'd be like a preacher fly. Last thing. It'd be like a preacher flying to Tokyo. And everything he say to the Japanese, because he's in Japan, it don't relate to us here in the States. Just because you go on the road, that don't mean everything you say don't relate home. So I think we're giving Apostle Paul a bad rap. We've given him a bad rap. We need to quit talking to him and segregating him from the Bible. It's the word of the Most High. And if you're not going to trust him, if he says anything that does not line up with Scripture, and you prove it to me, I'm willing to throw away everything Apostle Paul said. If he is not lining up with Christ, we need to quit messing around with Apostle Paul and throw out his books and not mess around with this, because souls are at hand here. People are really our soul is in danger if we're flirting with doctrines that does not line up with Christ. I think the man's doctrine do line up with Christ, and I think he's profound.
Gotcha. I want to add in there, but before I do, is there anybody that want to comment on what Brother Self has just laid out? Anybody?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I just wanted to say real quick, he mentioned about keeping the feast and all this type of thing. This is what I was going to say. You can keep the feast and your heart still not be right with God.
Amen.
I'm going to say it one more again. You can keep the feast and still your heart not be right with God. Now, here's where I think we are struggling so much. I think the initial question was, why do you believe that we're having so many issues? I think Seth hit something when he said, why don't we just believe what the Bible says? Why don't we just do what the Bible says? Forget about the whole Paul and forget about – that's what I believe the issue is with the body of Christ. I believe the body of Christ has, like the scripture said, esteemed their tradition higher than the will of the Father. So that's where – therein lies our issue. We so smart – this is something my pastor say that I didn't understand at first when he started saying it. But he always say, y'all too smart. Y'all too smart. In other words, we thinking too much into it. We adding too much to it and taking too much away from it. The Bible said, woe unto him who add or take away from this word of God. But we're doing it all day long, which is why the body of Christ is in the state that it's in, because we won't just do what the king said. Whatever the king say, that's what it is. But we don't do that. We say, oh, we act like Satan. We act like, no, yeah, we act like Satan. Oh, you won't surely die. See? And then, like Brother Michael was saying, now we slipped off into this carnal mindset. And the Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. See, so we got a whole host of things going on that's causing us to be in the state that we're in. Not the curses. We curse to ourselves to be a big fan of Bishop T.D. Jakes. I'm not so much anymore, but he said something that was profound one time. He said, my greatest enemy is my inner me. That's where we're struggling. It's like Seth said again. Seth said we struggle with the whole trust piece, the whole faith piece. The Bible said it's impossible. Listen to that. It's a strong word, y'all. The Bible said it's impossible to please God without faith. Impossible.
Yeah.
So that's where our issue lies, y'all. It ain't the curses. We cursing ourselves by not being obedient to the word of God. Isaiah 1:19 said, if ye be willing and obedient, you shall, the word shall, whenever you see the word shall in the word of God, it means it's a promise. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And I'm finished.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. And let me just say a comment or two on that one. Faith, you know, like the brother said, the old people, old school people, you know, they know a lot of things. And that, as scripture, he said, the just shall live by faith. Now, there are some of us, like myself, who are not students of the Bible. So we don't know too much. But then, too, I thought about it so much over the years. And how can you be so close? How can you have such a personal relationship when you're not a Bible student?
That's right.
What did I say? Well, let's find out. I don't know. Did Abraham have the Bible at that time? No. Was he able to read and do all that stuff? No. But did he have a relationship with the Most High? Yes. Okay, so you have to have that faith when you don't know nothing else.
That's
right. You can. I mean, I had people say things to me that because I you know, Brother Mike and others, I have already went over that different things that have happened to me where it wasn't anything to do with the scriptures, and I didn't recite any scriptures, but let's just say that mountain at the time was moved. And it was moved by faith. So you want to know what in the world I'm talking about? Well, I'm going to try to put it in a real short, brief answer for you. I had a 14-month-old baby who was I think it's sudden infant death. And when all was my mom just said, Thelma, let it go, let it go, let it go. It's over. She's gone. Bye-bye. It's been too long. It's been roughly over 20 minutes. Come on now. She's gone. I said, it can't be, because I have this personal relationship, and I just don't believe that that my God, my Father, is going to let this happen. And so all the time I was just wanting somebody to please help me, anybody help me, anyone, because my baby was not breathing. And I'm thinking, and then it finally something heard and said, Thelma, you didn't ask, it's not just anybody. Not anyone can give life. And I said, oh, my goodness, I made a mistake. I should have known that the only one that gives life is our Father, which art in heaven. And I said, I repented real quick with my daughter in my arms. I repented. I am so sorry. I cannot put anyone against you, aside you, because it's your will in my life. You know, if she lives or dies, but I ask you and I plead with you to give my daughter back to me if it's your will. And forgive me for thinking about and putting anyone in your place like they can give life to my daughter. But you're the only one. I got sidetracked for a moment. I still had her in my arm over 20 minutes or more. Sir, I just want to let you know that after I repented and by faith in knowing who he was and how he had served me and did for me throughout my life, I just turned over and I just said, if it's your will, I just asked for breath back in my daughter and pat her, hit her in the back, and she started crying.
Hallelujah!
So that was one. That's faith. I'm saying over 20 minutes of not breathing. And I'm proud to say that I told my daughter, I said, you know, because he gave you life twice. He have blessed me with a granddaughter, a grandson, and now a great-grandchild. I said, so you are a blessing. So don't never think of you not being a blessing. But then, too, I had a young lady. I worked in healthcare, and she came in, and to tell you the truth, that she was a psychiatrist, which I had to see her at one time in my life. But here she was coming into my venue, and she was in front of me. And her situation has turned 360 from where she was a psychiatrist, her husband was a doctor, her child was at school in a university, and she'd been married for 30 years. Okay, well, now what happened that she come into my booth when she helped me through a crisis, she comes to me and then she has lung cancer. I just want to get this out. So what I'm saying is that she came in and I told her about her faith. I reminded her, because we talked about faith when the tides was on the reverse. She's encouraging me, and we're talking about the Savior. We're talking about our faith. Now, her situation has turned, and now she was in front of me, and I had to get her checked in for lung cancer. So what I'm saying is that she was all up in arms. She didn't know where she was. She was crying, and her mother was talking, and I said, I got her taken care of, and then I had a few minutes, and I said, listen to me. You must have faith. If you doubt him, nothing changes. And I tell you that if you don't believe that he is who he say he is, he's our Lord and Savior, he's the Son of our Father, which art in heaven, that's what I told her, and I said, if you can't believe that whatever you are going through, if you have that faith and that belief in your heart that he's going to take you through this, then you can't doubt that. And I said, and how do you know? You don't know what's what. I mean, they can find something and then he can take it out and have it disappear where it's not even there. I said, faith. But she ended up going to surgery, and then the mother came back to me and told me her daughter was in recovery, and she said, who are you? I said, who am I? She said, yeah, how did you know? She said, exactly what you told us is exactly what they found. And she said, you must have it. I said, have it? I tell you what I have. I have faith. So I'll stop there.
Wow.
I'll stop there.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, I just I'm gonna take it to another level, folks. The time is running down on us. We got a good hard 15 minutes left in the show, okay? And I definitely want to end it on a good note, but for right now, I'm going to elevate it and take it a little deeper, okay? Paul, Apostle Paul, good man, a scholar. I believe that we ought to pay attention to what Paul is saying, all right? However, what I was wanted to say is that what makes it a little complicated from my position is Peter, all right? Peter makes it a little complicated because Peter warned us, Israel, down in Jerusalem, to be careful of reading Paul's scriptures, right? There's
Let's
a lot of people that's
that.
Going to.
Can we read that?
Yes, yes.
Can we
Second
read
Peter.
That
Let's
right there?
Second. Second Peter, and we're going to go to chapter 3, and I'm going to start at 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. All right? And I want to take it from right there, what Peter said, and I want to jump to Revelations. Let's go to Revelations.
Hold on. Hold on, brother. You can do that. I just want to make a quick in and out. There is no indictment on Paul there. He is saying those that are listening to them, they're the ones that come up under destruction because they are unlearned. He said in verse 15, Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him. So with wisdom given unto Paul, also verse 16, he says the things are which some things are hard to be understood. It's no shade on Paul. It's just you just gotta understand what he's saying. And it went on to say about those that hear him. There's no shade on Paul. It says which they that are unlearned. Hold on. Finish real quickly. Which they that are unlearned, that are unlearned and unstable rest. These people is resting on what they think Paul says, as they do with also other scriptures, mean other authors in the Bible. So they do the same thing, not just with Paul, but with other authors. They rest on other scriptures unto their own destruction. Absolutely zero, no shade, no disrespect, no nothing for Paul.
Right,
because
I have something to say about Paul.
Okay, yeah, I want to get you in, Brother Joshua, man. You go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You guys are talking. I thought that was a funny insert. Never mind. Go ahead.
Hold on a second. So we can be clear and nobody won't feel shade or anything like that. How was that a funny insert? One more time. The brother, where he says, Paul, also according to the wisdom, not the false teaching, the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you. Also, verse 16, also in his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand. Just because Paul's epistles are hard to understand, that don't mean it's wrong, off, going against Jesus, or none of that. See, what's happening, now, I won't go down that road, but anyway,
that is not a slight
against Paul. So how is it funny?
No, sir.
How is the insertion funny?
No, my insertion was that there is something to say about Paul that is different. It's the difference between Paul as an apostle compared to Peter. And Peter was pure the entire time, and Paul was not. And that's all I was saying.
How was Paul not pure?
He was probably the most terrible apostle, which made his redemption arc.
He used to kill people.
Right,
Hold on a second, brother. We understand Paul was horrible, but when he had
yes.
the Damascus Road experience, and after
yes,
he began to write, we can't hold him to when he was in ignorance.
No. It sounded like what he was saying was Paul.
No,
had,
go ahead, Purcell. I'm saying that the man was deeply flawed before he came to Christ. That's all I was saying, is that he was deeply flawed before he came to Christ. He was Saul before he was Paul. And
right.
he did not, that was not, the road to Damascus was actually very transformative in his behavior. But the difference between Saul becoming Paul and Simon becoming Peter, that's definitely not the same thing. One was a long road, a long journey, a lot of struggle, and the other one was absolute loyalty. Does that make sense?
Okay, hear what I'm saying. After conversions by both of them, it's where we're at. Not one of them shot people, drive by, he got saved, and one of them was born in church like I was and never went out into the world really, really, really. You can't go by that. You got to go by, is Paul, after his conversion, speaking the words of the Most High, and is Peter doing the same? Because if you bring up, the only reason why I'm saying is Joshua, if you or anyone keep bringing up Paul's bad or anybody's bad, you can't shade on the scripture and you make people that really need the very word of God spoken through this man, you throw shade on those scriptures and then people are in most miserable because they can't hear from the word. Paul was taught very well and the Most High needed his insight. He used him. He used
yes, sir.
This apostle, so I'm saying you can't throw shade in any way on his teaching.
No, he wasn't.
I disagree with you because I think that you need to understand the hero's journey that Saul went through to become Paul and that Peter went through when he was Simon. Like, you have to understand the entirety of it or you're not going to appreciate the end game that they actually became.
Hold on, brother Self, because I think y'all coming from two different perspectives, but y'all both saying the same thing. Brother Joshua apparently wants to incorporate Paul's whole journey in comparison between Peter and Paul. I'm thinking that's the case. And Brother Self, you're talking about the message that Paul's bringing in the scriptures, and you don't understand where Joshua's coming from, incorporating all of it. But Joshua firmly stands with Paul and his message and all of that he brings. So debating, y'all finna debate on Paul. Well, y'all both in agreement with what Paul is doing and what he's saying. So that's what I'm saying. What we're kind of, I think both of y'all not fully understanding, articulating y'all point of views. I think y'all talking about two different type of things, but y'all on the same page. It's me that you guys I'm gonna throw another little monkey wrench in there because Paul talks about their spirituality coming into play, and we can see room how Satan, the devil, have manipulated not Peter's message, but he came through Paul's message, and he deceived the whole world, still deceiving us now through the spiritual understanding and things. Because, see, for example, out of Paul's churches that he established or got it together, him and there's something evil. I ain't going to say it like that. There's very – they manipulated
All right, that spiritual teaching that Paul first set down, something very came out of that, and that is called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. All right, now this is the doctrine of Nicolaitans that our God hates. All right, what is the doctrine of Nicolaitans? It's a spiritual doctrine, but they don't follow no rules or how to live their life. They want to speak to God in a spiritual sense, walking through life. If they want to marry a cow, they can, I guess. I don't know too much about it. But all I know is a spiritual thing, and it goes against pretty much God is offended by whatever doctrine it is. But it's a spiritual. They don't need to be governed by any rule.
I call those Wonka Christians. They think that they can do so much, and they can spend so much, and they can do all this nonsense to get a golden ticket into heaven.
Okay, so with that being said, let's look at Peter again. So let's look at Peter again. He's saying that the unlearned rest. You know, Paul, and he says he did say other scriptures as well. He did. To their own destruction. So this spiritual, one of these churches is jacked up, right? And they're relying on this spiritual connection. We see homosexuality being pastors and things like that. We can see people manipulating this spiritual walk here, not wanting to be governed by no type of set of rules, right?
Let me ask you a question. Now, is it fair to say that this evil come out of grace? That's what you're calling it. It's called grace. This evil come out of the grace teaching, but yet the Most High was so upset with what Israel was teaching till he literally sent slave ships. Listen.
Hold on.
The question is this. Are you telling me that the evil that come out of grace is more evil than evil that come out of being religious under the law, naming the name of God, and all the things that upset the Father so that he scattered Israel to the four corners? He made us go. That's why we're in America right now. Are you saying that our evil, Paul's teaching, the evil that come out of Paul's teaching, to keep in mind, everybody, it wasn't Paul. It was people that got his scriptures wrong, and the Bible just said, other scriptures, which mean other authors as well. Why are we putting Paul again on the cross? He didn't teach the bad teaching. It's people that's not walking with the Most High. These same people that's perverting Paul teaching perverted law teaching. It's equal. It's equally evil. Let's be fair.
Yes, sir. No, I agree with that entirely. I'm not saying it's any different. I'm sorry. No, we are coming together on that. Yeah. I also don't think that you should hold any particular apostle or any saint in high regard.
Right. And that's not what I'm not trying to – I don't think y'all understand in my position fully. I'm saying that Paul's teaching is some lot that we all can learn. But he was sent to the Gentiles, and there's nothing you can do to take that away. He was literally – have a message for the world to come into the gospel of Christ. All right? If you want to get to a specific people, you might want to go to Jerusalem and holler at Peter, holler at John and James.
They're going to pervert
as
their
teachers
as well.
I would want to go to Paul if I got a message for the world. If I want
to
emphasize the
say,
gospel, I want to go to Paul. I want to. However, I got something I'm trying to get out. I'm not against Paul, man.
I don't think you're being fair. No, listen.
But,
I don't think
brother,
you're, being
you're not
fair
even letting me get
because
my words
people,
out, brother.
Go ahead.
All right. So what I'm trying to say is the law, man. Us Israel, when I speak about the law, I'm not talking to Joshua right now. I am literally talking to you brothers that's on here. Okay? I think the spirituality walk and this law, walk, I think they can go hand to hand together. But if you're going to go all spiritual and not want to be governed by the law, I think what the fruits of that, that comes out of that, is that doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Because if you don't want to be under the law, then how can you knock these so-called pastors that preach that homosexuality and things like that? You know?
Okay.
I mean,
ask
how,
that
can,
again.
How can you?
Ask
what's
that,
the difference?
Ask that, ask that again. Ask that question again, please. If you don't want to.
If you don't want to be governed. If you don't want to be governed by the law. All right? Or you don't want to be under it. Meaning that that's your, that you're living by the law. You're living under the law, right? Because I believe that we are under the law, by the way. And so, therefore, what's the option? How can you be mad at these pastors that's teaching homosexuality is of the will of God and things like that?
Brother Kenwin, because the same spirit that moved on those that wrote the law is inside of us. And it says, don't do that. And it says things that they didn't even write. It says who God is. It says who the Messiah is. It's to reveal the book of Revelation. Who would want to go by a set of ordinances when you can have the person that wrote the ordinances inside of you? Who would want to go fall in love with a book with some laws on it, talking about they're under that, when you could be under the person that told the person that wrote the law? Again, that little book of ordinances is for people that don't have the inner man connection, that can't hear the lawless, we call them. That's who is that set of ordinance, those that don't have the spirit. I don't even see how this is confusing. A person named George tells a guy named Frank, write these letters. This is what I really want. Write these commandments. This is what I like. So George tell Frank, write this down. This is what I like. Frank writes it down. People comes along and start worshiping the very thing Frank wrote down. Why would you do that when you got George living on the inside of you? I don't get it, man. I don't understand it. I don't understand why people are saying we're under what Frank wrote and all the ordinance and all the things Frank wrote that George liked coffee. Frank wrote that George liked going out to eat. Frank wrote that George liked this. He liked that. He liked his feet rubbed. And so people worship and want to feel good about following this. When I have George living on the side of me, he might switch. He might not want his feet rubbed. Maybe there's a certain time he wants his feet rubbed. All Frank wrote down is that I like my feet rubbed. Why not have George inside of me telling me everything he wanted, how he wanted? Brother, the law is for the lawless, people that cannot hear the lawgiver. They need the law. If you want to be under it, great, stay under it. But don't start hollering about you got the lawgiver if you just worshiping or just looking at the laws.
But I want the righteousness of God, though.
I personally want
the righteousness of God. And the law can't give me the righteousness of God. Remember, I shared a scripture with you all last week, Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, that said if the law could make us righteous, then Jesus died for nothing. Remember?
And that's when you begin to respect that humans are ridiculous creatures. We are not above God in any way. Our rules written down on paper mean nothing compared to his word.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
So the Bible says all letter and no spirit is an abomination. And
amen.
I would even say likewise, all spirit and no letter is an abomination. Because all spirit and no letter
all spirit, and you, and it sounds like you kind of said this, Brother Micah, all spirit and no letter is simply so heavenly minded that you ain't no earthly good. But you have to understand the practical wisdom that God provides, as well as the spiritual wisdom that the Holy Ghost provides. It's essentially same thing Steph was saying.
Yeah, it means absolutely nothing if you can't actually practice it. And we already have this stuff. It's already in the book.
Right.
And as far as all spirit and no letter and no law, I like that. But what does law mean? It's instructions. So if you have the spirit, right, all spirit and no law, I like to say no instruction, because when you say law, people start feeling like they are justified by the law. They just can't accept righteousness as a gift. That's the problem. That's really the problem with these people. They just can't believe that God is just going to, the Most High Yah is just going to make you righteous just because you believe. That is, I wish they would just say, man, I just don't believe I'm righteous. I know he said he made me righteous in Christ. I know he said he put me in Christ, but I don't think he put me in Christ. I think I'm a black man. I think I'm a white man. No, I don't believe this. I don't believe with a body. I'm not a body. I'm not really reunited with you guys through. Don't believe that. That's
lose your mind, like Sam Harris.
It's a wasting people's time. People just don't. I posted this on Facebook just the other day. People really don't believe we're in Christ, because you can't be in Christ talking about you're under the law. It just don't make any sense. The lawgiver is who we worship. We're going to be told all kinds of things not to do. What do you mean, Brother King, when he say if you're governed by the law, how if you're not governed by the law, well, these homosexuals can't. No way. The Most High, that spirit is going to rise up in you and say, you shouldn't do this. But there's all kinds of things we should do that the law don't even address. The law, the spirit is even going to tell you what job you're going to do, or how you treat your wife, or where to go. Man, who would want to be on the 613 laws when we got all kinds of things
in
2020?
You just. I'm told myself that if I hear somebody talk about how much the law, 613, that is so irrelevant. We're living 3,500 laws in American laws right now. Why not? What,
over 70,000.
So, over 70,000, really? I mean, come on. That is
such
a cop-out.
Right.
Man. But go ahead.
Now, what I'm
saying
is, why these folks want to be under the infamous 613 laws, not you, brother. I'm saying this is what these Israelites, Hebrew Israelites, they're saying the law. They really make over the law like they really saying something. And like I said last week, and I'm going to say it again, people like this law. The reason why is because this is something man can control. They can look at whether or not you keep a Sabbath. They can look at whether or not you eat pork. They can look at whether or not you're wearing tassels. They can look at whether or not you shaving your beard, corners of your beard. They can look, they can judge, they can talk, they give them boasting rights when they do it. But the spirit, when you start talking about being justified by the spirit, when you start talking about being justified by faith, that's all on God and ain't nothing we can do. And they don't like that. So this is why it's so appealing to people that's hatred, full of hate for the white man, because they can look at the law, they can see it is true that these other nations are going to serve Israel. So they bring that out, and they start talking about, you're going to lick my boots and start doing all this crazy stuff, because that's why this law is so attractive. But I want the law.
And I can
like
see the spirituality. I can see the spirituality being attractive, because that's the very thing you just said. It's the same thing that who promotes homosexuality, folks getting married. He'll say that. You can't control me through your law. You know, you're going by the spirit.
It's
the
lack
of
spirituality.
Everything you're saying. It's the
exactly.
I mean, far as
exactly,
where he's coming from.
It's the lack of spirituality.
It's the comfortability and conforming whatever the state
truth.
Is
no,
trying
no.
to push.
Joshua just hit the nail on the head.
Now, listen, that homosexual don't have a, come on, you got to be kidding.
The Bible is full of laws. The Bible is full of teachings against homosexuality, even in the New Testament. So I can't go by everybody out here doing something crazy. No, they can say they're using the Spirit. They can say, oh, you can't judge me. They can say all that. That's just error. Again, mistreating, misusing Paul's teachings. I'm not going to throw the apostle under the bus because somebody wants to sleep with a man. A man wants to sleep with a man because the scripture
is
clear even in the New Testament.
The Bible literally says a Christian should not judge another Christian. We are not judging Christians in America these days. These are heathens. These are not people that believe in God. We should judge them. We should shame them. They've gone so far. You know what they're doing to kids? Can we agree on that at least?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I mean,
well,
yeah. this is a good conversation
we
that we need to have, y'all. All right, and I just want to kind of set the tempo here, y'all. We're wrapping up. I want everybody to get something in to say as we get ready to close. But I want some good positive on conversation like that we can continue having these kind of conversations. We just scratched the surface. Today's show, y'all. We still got plenty more that we want to say and get out, and we got to do this again sometime, you know. But this subject is always going to be one of those hot subjects that must be heard subjects, and we need to talk about them. But our Christ, okay, he's for this law, okay, and he even let us know that even the person breaks the smallest of our life. Let's say the dietary. This is what we eat, right? He's not talking to the Gentile nation here. They wasn't under the covenant. They can eat what they want to, all right? I'm just saying from my perspective they can. I don't care what they eat. But I do want Israel to come back to this law, be governed their lives under this law, and that it all connects in this message I'm saying and coming back to the law, man. If we could just change the way we eat, man, if we could just be fear God all over again, if we could just come back to that, all right? Anyway, y'all, I just wanted to say that as my last little insert, man, and we could just start talking about the positive of this conversation, how productive it is, and how we need to then, you know, continue with, man, and get back in. I definitely want to end it on a good note, this show, y'all. So let's see. Who wants to go first, y'all? And kind of
it's easy for me. It's do good things, raise your kids, teach them to read, teach them to do math, teach them science, you know. Raise your kids.
Amen.
Amen on that. All right. Brother Sell, Brother Purcell, anybody want to go first?
Man, I'll just say, I'll go before Seth because he's long-winded.
All right.
I just want to say, man, I really appreciate you inviting me on, man. I think this was an awesome, awesome session.
Yes. Yes, it was.
So glad to meet Brother Joshua. I appreciate you being on. I appreciate your perspective. And then, of course, you know how I feel about you, Seth, and the Five Smooth Stones Network.
Don't forget about Sister Thale.
Sister Thale, yes. Sister Thale, she's so quiet. I almost forgot. Sister Thale, it's been a pleasure being on with you as well. She says
I let her know she just dropped off.
Okay. She made me want to take off running when she talked about that baby, that breath coming back into that baby body. So I just want to say we're the righteousness of God, man. That's the absolute rock bottom line. And like my foundation scripture says for Salt Life Kingdom Ministries, we are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses his savor, if the salt has lost his savor, we have to keep in mind that he is the reason we came up with this big cliche around Christmas where we said he is the reason for the season. Now, I'm saying it based on Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. If the salt have lost his savor, is the reason for us being able to season the earth. He is the reason. It's not because we so wonderful. It's because he's so awesome and so powerful that we are able to affect change in the earth. So we are literally the salt of the earth. Not only are we the salt of the earth, but the Bible said that we are the light of the world. And I love you, and it's not a thing you can do about it, and I'm out.
All right, all right. All right, Brother Sal.
That was powerful. That was powerful.
I love
brother.
You too, brother. I love you too, brother.
Y'all talking about, well, Brother Joshua, I just want to say I love you, and Sister Thel, love you too. And I'm not just saying that. We do say it on the end of our show. We love every single one of you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We say that every single show, and I mean it. No, I don't care what ethnos you are. So having said that, I want to go shorter than Purcell. He always talk about how long I am. Brother Kimmel, first of all, you got to understand, these are great shows. These kinds of shows are great shows. Why? Because there are people that think exactly like you, and you have to say and defend your turf. If I can say turf, that's probably not the best thing to say. Defend your belief. You have to. You have to lift your voice and say, that's not right. Because that's how people feel. People feel like I feel. So I hope I didn't come off condescending or anything like that. If I do, I ask for anyone's apology. I just believe that, like Brother Michael said, to the law, but I say it a little different. I'm going to say come back to the law that the Spirit gives you. Because if you say come back to the law in the Old Testament, they kill bulls, lambs, goats. You're going to be trying to figure out which one do I keep, and you're going to get confused.
Right.
But if you go with the Spirit that has been put inside of, as Purcell said, you have an unction from the Holy One, and need not that anyone should teach you. Don't. Folks, we have the lawgiver inside of us. And like Brother Michael said, you know, he was talking about, you know, the whole homosexual thing. It don't matter what sin it is. That unction going to let you know. Believe me, you're going to be better off than our forefathers in the Old Testament with some written laws. If you listen and follow the unction, and guess what? No sin is going to be laid to your account. No sin. Even if you break one of those so-called laws, the Father is not going to hold that against you because you're in Christ. That's better than our forefathers. This is why I say quit. Don't claim to be under the law of the Old Testament. Claim to be under Christ, in Christ, where your sins is hid. And with the body upon the earth, please let the Holy Spirit give you the law. Last thing I'm going to say is a reference. If you want more information on the teachings of grace, and listen to Brother Michael, a.k.a. Brother Kenwin, and the Five Smooth Stone Network. All you have to do is Google Five Smooth Stone Network, Blog Talk Radio, and you'll get our shows. We talk a lot about these types of topics. Also, my mentor, who taught Brother Seth outside the scriptures, well, the Holy Spirit used a guy by the name of Andrew Womack, who taught a series called, You've Already Got It. You've Already Got It. Look up You've Already Got It, where he talks about these things we talked about and more. Also, a book by Kenneth Hagin called In Him. I'm out. Again, I enjoyed the show. Great show. Thank you, Brother Kim, for inviting us.
No problem. All right. I want to say that that's the reason why I wanted the brothers on the show, why I was so excited in the first place, y'all. I got my little foundation, my understanding of the scriptures, and I know I'm still lacking what we call the spiritual understanding that Paul was given. Well, I'm going to say it. I'm the last one talking, so I'm going to say it, put it out there. He was given to the Gentiles this message, right? This amplified voice of Israel and are being under this law, right? He's giving it to a people who didn't know our God or our Messiah and what that's all about. And he explained it in a spiritual manner for them to also partake. And there's a lot that when he went to talking that we can take and apply to our own lives, right? Understanding our own walk better. And so a lot of things that Paul was saying, I understand it to a certain degree. And these brothers, they kind of excelled in understanding more about Paul's message. So I'm trying to understand. I'm lacking a lot of that spiritual, you know, understanding. So that's what made this show special. They're talking about it, and this is the body of Christ, y'all. And we're at war with each other, you know. And it's a spiritual war on top of that. So we need to arm ourselves with the spirit. We need to know more about the spirituality of walking with Christ, man, so we can be able to fight this spiritual battle better, right? So, yeah, I enjoyed them, man, and that's the Five Smooth Stones family there, and the Soft Light Ministry also came. And Brother Joshua, thank you for attending, and Sister Thale. And all right, y'all, I'm going to put everybody on hold. And it's a great show, man. And I hope y'all can return. I'm on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays at 5 p.m. Central. And, yeah, return. Come on back to Waking Up Israel Radio Show, man. I love speaking about these, man, topics. So let's see here. We're going to lead it out with a song and go with Blue Sky. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Until next time. All right.
Been oppressed all my whole life, living life like it's alright. Everybody talking past life, in and out of that jailhouse. Street running, I'd have done that, I'd have chose something different. I just want something different. Anybody feel me? Yeah, yeah. One thing that I do know, conscience never blind, oh. Bond rigs out of Ohio, beat it down like a high note. Like what it mean when it say high note? Your guess is better than mine, though. We try both, let's move forward. I have something that they don't know. I'm just trying to bring the light in, give them something that is priceless. Show them what it mean righteous. A lot of people ain't gonna like this, some of y'all gonna despise it. If you have problems, I have solutions. If you have questions, I'm here to help you. It's getting real, y'all, it's getting real out here. It's getting real, y'all, it's getting real, real. If you have problems, I have solutions. If you need help, then I'm here to heal you. It's getting real, y'all, it's getting real out here. It's getting real, y'all, it's getting real. Can I be honest in just a minute? Why y'all acting like you don't need us? Why y'all claiming all these fake religions? When God sent the nation against all nations, Israel always kept the precepts. He just never kept the precepts. 2 Ezra 3:33. 2 Ezra 3:36. Light it up like a pyro. Why they looking so surprised though? Like they ain't even in the Bible. But you don't even read your Bible. Isaiah 34:2. But pastor never even showed you. Word I have, I'm going crazy. Like listen to what I'm saying. That's not what it's really meaning. Man, I wish I had a time for every time I heard a Christian say the same line. Man, I ain't lying. If you have problems, I have solutions. If you have questions, I'm here to help you. It's getting real, y'all, it's getting real out here. It's getting real, y'all, it's getting real, real, real. If you have problems, I have solutions. Then I'm here to heal you. It's getting real, y'all. It's getting real out here. It's getting real, y'all. It's getting real. Everybody got their own way, do their own thing. Not a serving God, but they know him. How is it that you got understanding when you not keeping that one commandment? You don't even keep the Sabbath day. You don't even keep the holy days. Now I know. You can be honest, you can be honest. Gonna be honest, gonna be honest.
enough. Nah, that ain't even enough. I'ma have to make a phone call to prophets. They gon' have to show up, make it stop it now.